Another outside the box. Being obsessive about flexible thinking. Today's topic is control. Day to day, how much control do you have over what you do that day? How much control does someone else, an employer or boss, a parent or child, or another person have over you? And how much control do you have over other people, such as children or elders, family or friends, or employees? Many of us have a hard time letting go and giving up control. We like to be in charge, especially of our own lives, which is usually a good thing, but sometimes over others, which generally is not. There are control freaks, people who are obsessive-compulsive about wanting to control others. We've got a couple of those right now in government, a U.S. president and the head of the Department of Government Efficiency. They want control of our government and the people in it. That's us. It's my way or the highway. They want to tell us what we can or can't say and do. I think for them, control is all important. If something is bad, it doesn't exist, or they make it go away. If it's good, they want to be surrounded by it. They don't tolerate disagreement from others. Control means that they're right. Anyone who disagrees is wrong. They're not open to changing their mind, no matter how wrong they are. It's easier to change the facts or the reality than to have to change what they believe. Being a control freak is not a diagnosis, just an observation of a behavior that's unhealthy and that needs to be treated and changed. Letting a person practice their control freakiness on others can be dangerous, as we're now seeing daily in our federal government. They need help, but they are not only not getting it, but also are causing serious harm to millions. Many, many people have suffered already, and many are suffering now, from those in other countries whose food or medical supplies from USAID has disappeared, to fired federal employees, to immigrants treated very poorly while being deported, to transgender people made invisible, to critics who are demonized. Of course, this is an extreme case. Two people who think they have control, who I think have control issues, in a position of incredible power to do serious damage. But controlling behaviors happen every day. Thankfully, in most cases, the damage only impacts a much smaller number of people and usually in more limited ways. But not always. Sometimes there is serious abuse. Talk to anyone who's experienced domestic violence, or listen to children whose freedom is severely curtailed by parents who raise their kids based on a narrow notion of right and wrong. Youth can usually learn best on their own, not from being told what to think by others. The real challenge is, how can we all give up power over situations and the desire for control over others? How can we give that control back to those who simply want to control their own lives and let others control theirs? It's better for us to get rid of the anxiety or insecurity or other obsession that's causing the desire for control. Less angst, less stress, less disappointment if those being controlled do not measure up to our standards. Less chance of those being controlled who are being controlled lashing out against us or intentionally violating our demands. More trust. We need to have more trust in that other person to do well, even if it's not what we think is best. It's a chance for us to let go, to remove some of our own anxiety, to recognize what we can and cannot change and, as 12-step programs suggest, the wisdom to know the difference. It's an opportunity to demonstrate respect for others. It can allow us to look internally at our own attributes, both good and bad, and to let others live their own lives, however that turns out. How much does control control your life and others in your life? I'm Larry Danziger, letting go of control whenever I can, especially when it hurts others.